1 Corinthians 9:18. I'm just going to read the one verse. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. I make the gospel of Christ without charge. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you'd give us a freedom and ease to speak it today as only you can give. Lord, we pray that you'd touch every heart and life that's here, that you'd strengthen every believer. And Lord, if there be a lost soul in the sound of my voice, that soul would come under conviction of their need of you as Savior. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Every once in a while, things come up that just sort of get a hold of my attention. I see some things. I experience some things. And I'm very sensitive about the church. I'm sensitive about the Bible. I'm sensitive about the gospel. I'm sensitive about the church. There's some things that I think they're important and that ought to be cared for. And you are really denied some things because you come to this church. You are denied some things. We don't have a nursery for you. We don't have a Mother's Day out. You can't bring your kids by here and drop them off and we'll take care of them for you. We don't have a kindergarten or a first grade. Do you know what? If we put in a nursery, a kindergarten, or first grade, it'd pay the entire church building expenses. Build a new auditorium with it. Wouldn't be a problem. We could put us a Christian school in for the first few years, and we'd do well with that just as long as you don't go past the grades, go all the way up back, go up to high school, starts costing you money. It'll make you money otherwise. Probably every month or so, I'm asked to rent the building. Somebody wants to use the building for something, or they want to rent it, or they want to come by and borrow. In fact, some of you might come and ask me, say, Brother Lindell, I'm having a garage sale. Can we have some of the tables from the chair, from the church? And I'll say, no, very sweetly. I'm not interested in your garage sale. You know, we had some kids take off and go to Mexico. Some of them worked, earned their own money. Some of them their folks could pay. And some of them somebody else helped them pay. But we didn't have a church car wash. We didn't get all our old clothes together and have a church bazaar. We didn't go to McDonald's and ask for help. Or H-E-B. They'll all help. Guarantee you, they'll help. We didn't do that. There's a reason for that. It's not that I just like to be hard-headed and mean, or that I'm so cantankerous that I'm out in left field. Maybe I am, but that's not the reason. I've been tempted lots of times, and I guess week by week, month by month, year by year, and I've been preaching, going to be 41 years, September the 1st. I've had all sorts of people. Brother Brian and I were visiting one time, and we came over here, and a new couple had just come to the church, and boy, they were just gung-ho, and they were so sweet, and they were mowing the lawn. Now, man, it wasn't you, Danny. It was somebody else mowing the lawn. And I said, whoa, boy, what sweet people. And boy, they were so sweet. They were so sweet that we made a couple of more visits and they told us they wanted to be the Amway distributors of the church. And I said, find another church. We're not in business here. I tell you, just this last week or two, I heard of some pastors that on their first visit into the home of somebody to visit their church, they presented the church and then presented the Amway. Since we, as the pastors of the church, or the church is selling the Amway, you're going to buy these things anyway. Why not buy them from the church? Then the church gets the money. And you see, things like that make me mad. I was tempted for a bookstore, but we don't have a bookstore. Hey, I preach some pretty good sermons. I think so. In fact, my sermons have been duplicated and passed out around the world. I haven't sold a sermon in 41 years. I'm not planning on starting selling any new ones. You can spend $25 on some of the guy's sermons, or you can get mine for free. Suit yourself. Mine aren't that much worse than his. They might be better. You know what I'm trying to tell you? This is not a business. We don't charge. Call up a church around here and say, we want to get married in your church. Well, it'll be $250 for the auditorium, be $150 for the preacher's service, and so on down the line. I remember, I'm old enough. See, I wasn't born in a hospital. I was born in a farmhouse, a single-walled farmhouse up on the Lampasas River. The doctor that came out didn't have a set fee. You didn't have to have the money ahead of time. You didn't have to have an insurance program for him to get there. And if you paid him in eggs and chickens, he was happy. Maybe not as happy as it'd been if you'd paid him in money. But I tell you what he did. He did a service. He helped people. Whether they had the money or they didn't have the money. Preachers used to be like that. I think you ought to still be like that.
Amen.
Excuse me. I'm not a hireling. You can't buy me. Some of you never drop a dime into my offerings. But I've been at the hospital with you, and I've knocked on your door when you needed me. I don't do it because you give money. Some of the people that give me the most money don't even come. Some people come, don't give any money. Some people come, don't visit. Some people visit, don't give. Now, it would be really nice if I got people who came to every meeting, prayed every day, read their Bibles every day, gave 20% of their offerings to the work of the Lord, loved me enough to support me too. Hey, you know what? That would be wonderful. But that doesn't fit anybody in here, does it? Am I talking to you? Would I be talking to anybody in this room? You do all those things. Give to missions to boot. Witness every week. Oh, man, you're something else. Well, that's the kind of people I'm looking for. That's the kind of people I'm looking for. I'm looking for some people that are sold out to Jesus Christ. You know what Paul said here? He's talking about preachers being paid and being given money, and he said that's the right thing to do. And he said it ought to be done. He said, but you guys can't hold that over my head because I made my own living while I was with you. And then he said in verse 18, what is my reward then, verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge? I go and I see churches with every kind of business under the sun. I listen to them on radio and television. They don't want to be called selling anything. So for an offering of $25, you can have my signature Bible. Send it to you by mail. Worth $50, worth $100, worth $1,000. Doesn't make a difference what it is. Let me tell you what you're in. You're in business. When the day comes, we can't put on a vacation Bible school with the offerings of God's people in this church. We won't have a vacation Bible school.
Amen.
When the day comes when our missionaries can't stay on the foreign field and preach the gospel with their needs met without us having car sales or getting into business with Amway or bake sales or having a Wednesday night Mexican dinner for $6.95 so you can give your money to the church and eat too, then they can come back from the field. When that day comes, let's just set a match to this thing and burn it down. We got enough firemen to protect the rest of the neighborhood. We're not in business. I'm not in business. One time I'd been full-time at this church for about 7 years, and I'm a risk taker. I'm a gambler. I've been all my life. I don't gamble with cards or poker chips anymore. I won't bet you on who flip you a coin to see who buys the Coke. I'll just buy the Coke. I don't gamble with that money like that anymore. But I'm still a risk taker. And I went broke. Bad broke. And all of a sudden, man, I'm out visiting and I call home saying, I need to do this or do that. And she says, you better come home right now. You got bills you can't pay, boy. Yes, ma'am. I headed to see my accountant, her. Sure enough, I was broke. I'd taken one risk or two or three or maybe 10 too many. I had to go back teaching school. Now, let me tell you something about my purposes and desires. I don't remember laying in bed when I was a teenager thinking, I want to be a teacher. Oh, how I want to be a teacher. I don't remember after I got saved and became a preacher of the gospel saying, oh, how I want to work every day for somebody else to make my living so that I can preach the gospel freely. I don't remember ever saying that. But out of my 41 years of preaching, 20 years I taught school. Now, I didn't want to do that. That wasn't my purpose. I wanted to be a full-time preacher the whole time. I wasn't worried about insurance. I'm a risk taker. I wasn't worried about a lot of things. I trusted the Lord. But I ended up teaching 20 years. When I went back to teaching, an old friend of mine, a missionary friend of mine named Willie Cosby, some of you know him, he came by and he sat down and he looked at me. He said, you are a strange bird. He said, every other preacher I know, when the church quits paying him enough money, he goes to another church. You just go out and get a job and keep on preaching. You know why? You never did pay me enough to preach. You won't pay me enough next month either. I don't preach for money.
Amen.
I preach whether I have to make my money one way or another. I hope by God's grace I never have to go out and work again in a secular job to make my living. I hope that's true. I would wish that were true for Brother Brian and Brother Steve and whatever. That would be wonderful. I wish all of these missionaries would have everything they're going to need. But if they're going to get it, they're going to get it by the free will offerings of God's people.
Amen.
Not because we're going to start up some business. We put the gospel out. We knock on people's doors. We give out thousands of tapes, gospel messages. Why? People get saved. Have you ever realized how important these things are? Yeah, I told you about the bookstore. Yeah, I like bookstores. I like books. See, I'm a book nut. I used to be a bookaholic. I kicked the habit. I went to AA for books. I finally decided I got so many books, I need to read them again instead of buying some new ones. But you walk into a bookstore now, it almost makes me sick. It's fluff. Now you know why it's fluff? Because most of you that go there want fluff. You don't want doctrine. You don't want good Bibles. You don't want somebody preaching something. You want fluff. You want a t-shirt that says, oh, I'm saved. You want some little cards that are cute. And you want some little bracelets to hang around your arm. And you want to look Christian. God have mercy on me. Some people that live Christian.
Amen.
Be some people that love God's Word. Want to give God's Word out. We'd like to find somebody who loves God and wants to preach the gospel and doesn't worry about the money. One of the difficult things that I've done over these years is to keep this church simple. That's not real easy. I know you don't think it, but each one of you has an idea how we could do like they do down the road. And it is convenient. Hey, it's nice to have some good Christian friends keep your kids for you at the church and do some other things for you and provide you some sales and, hey, give you dinner on Wednesday night for $6.95. Those are all nice things. We're not a business. We are not a business. You say, oh, Brother Lindell, I'm having a family reunion, or we got this going on. We'd like to borrow some tables and chairs. Well, you know what? I might ought to ask you, because, see, I'd have to check with you. Do you sell beer? Do you drink beer? Does your family drink beer? Well, I don't want beer on these churches. Things. Whatever they are. Chairs. Thank you. I don't want the tables coming back to church and the money that God's people have given to be used for drinking beer at your house.
Amen.
I got some problems with some things. You understand me? So I like an old watchdog. I sit around looking and, I'm critical and, I say no to this and no to that and whatever. You know why? Because I'm very experienced. We had Christian Yellow Pages around San Antonio for a while, and boy, I had some young preachers that just kept bringing them here. And I'd tell them, I don't want a Christian Yellow Pages. Oh, don't you want to trade with Christians? I said, no. When I want a roofer, I'll find a roofer that can do a roofing job. I don't care if he's a Buddhist monk. When I find a mechanic that can fix a car for a decent price, I'll take it to him. I've been cheated by Christians more than I have by lost people. Isn't that a terrible thing? I'd take those Christian Yellow Pages and I would trash them. And some of these guys felt I was the worst Christian in town. Brother Lindell, we brought those here. Keep them out. Every crook in town says he's a Christian. Most of the mafia chieftains say they're Christians. Hey, use your head for something besides hair fertilizer. Little gray matter up there. What do you do for nothing? Amazing thing. I'm just going to touch just a couple of verses in the Bible, a couple of passages in the Bible on what I'm talking about. But there are many more. I remember one of them. God says about his own priesthood, they would not close the doors for naught. His own priests, they wouldn't close the doors of the church if you didn't pay them to do it. What kind of testimony is that? What kind of a Christian are you? What kind of work do you have? What kind of calling has God given you? What kind of ministry do you have? Bless your heart, do it freely. Make the gospel without charge. You know, the world has a bad idea about churches. They have a perfect right to believe that way, because almost every church they go into looks like one great big business with a tax deferment. We don't advertise anybody's anything for sale. You want to give it away, we'll give it away. We don't advertise anybody's anything. We don't want to. Now, I look in this room right here, and I can make a lot of good advertisements this morning. I got several businessmen sitting in this room. They're good businessmen. They're fine Christians. They give. They come. They work. Several businessmen. You know, Brother Brian, he was a full-time preacher. No insurance. No big money. Whatever. He's just having a wonderful little old family. And he has a little afflicted girl. And all of a sudden, in one day, he's in more debt than you'll ever see. One day he's absolutely overwhelmed. And he hasn't got out from being overwhelmed yet either. He probably never will. Well, he started doing some things, but I haven't heard him advertise his tax service or his painting ministry out of this pulpit. See, just because he's the pastor of the church, you don't have to hire him to paint your house. Just because he's a pastor, and some of the other people in here just like that. We are a very simple organization. We're an organism. We are a body. And what we do is take and teach and preach the Word of God, and we do it freely.
Amen.
You can invite anybody in. Now, we're liable to insult them because we'll probably call on their religion and tell them what we think of it. This last week, I was sitting in a house, And as I was sitting there talking to the family, had the whole family gathered around. Nice visit. You know, lots of these visits don't let you in, but this one let me in. And they gathered the family around, and I'm sitting there talking to them, and we were talking a little about different religions. I said, there are only two. Only two. I said, yeah, works and faith. I represent the faith side. The Catholics, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, many Pentecostals, many others, they represent the work side. What do you mean? They talk about faith. It's faith plus works, or you don't get it. Let me tell you something. Anytime you mix your works in it, you just messed up faith. You either get saved by faith and faith alone, and the gospel is Christ died for you.
Amen.
He paid the debt. Hey, and by the way, He did it freely.
Amen.
Oh, it was a great expensive thing, a tremendously expensive thing. Think what it cost. The blood of God's Son on the cross of Calvary. You can't think of a bigger cost than that. But my friend, Jesus Christ died, and when He died up on the cross of Calvary, He paid your debt completely. Not one thing that wasn't paid. You can't add anything to it. Anything you could add, just mess it up. It'd be like the unholy touching the holy, and you would mess up the sacrifice the minute you did anything for your salvation. Let me tell you, in this gospel I preach, in this gospel I believe, this gospel, this Bible puts out, Christ died for your sins, and He paid the debt, and He paid it all, and He did it freely to you.
Amen.
Doesn't cost you one red cent. That's the love of God.
Amen.
Paul said that I may make this gospel without charge. That's what I want to do. I've done it for 41 years. I think I'll hang on to it for a little while longer. I think it'd be a good way to go out. And you might have to go to one of the grocery stores to buy your groceries since the church isn't going to sell them to you. You might have to go to buy your other things since we're not going to sell them to you. In fact, you might have to go to professional nursery to take care of your kids because we're not going to provide it. And you might have to go to a professional school to have your kids educated or school them at home, whatever. We're not in business, and we're not going to get in business if the day comes we got to shut the doors. When the day comes when God's people cannot and will not give generously to the work of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, let's just shut our doors. God help us. Get a little bit of perspective. Get a little spiritual insight. Think of who you are. Think of where you belong and what you have. And yes, you don't have a lot of things here you can get just by going down the street. But you might have some things more here than what you can find anywhere else. Look, if you will, to the second chapter of John. Interesting passage. In fact, it's a passage that sort of helped me over the years as I thought about some different things that I did and didn't do. Verse 13, John 2:13, and Jesus... And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. When He'd made a scourge of small cards, He drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And His disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto Him, what sign showest thou unto us, seest that thou doest these things? And He answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years of this temple and building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But He spake of the temple of His body. When therefore He was risen from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Jesus decides to go up to the temple of Jerusalem. He takes His mother, brothers and sisters, disciples, and they all go up to Jerusalem, and He goes down to the temple to worship. And when He walks in, He finds a table here, and this guy will change your drachmas to pesos and pesos to marks or whatever. Jews came from all around the world. Do you know there's a problem if you're going to go down to Mexico? You got to find somebody to change your money. Now, you can get it changed here at San Antonio. They'll charge you more money, but it might be not as long a line. You can get it changed at Laredo. You can get it changed down inside. But you got to get your money changed because they're coming from all over. Here we are in the temple. You want to give an offering to the temple. What you going to do? You need somebody to change your money. They're providing a service. And they're very spiritual people. They work in the temple. They're providing a service. Oh, by the way, you want to bring one of those burnt offerings Brother Steve's talking about? And you want to bring a perfect lamb, a ram of the first year. Well, you know, if you start out at Nazareth and you trudge that little old lamb along, it might get bit by a dog and have a scar. It might get sick and die on you halfway down the road trip. And by the way, it is a lot of trouble to carry that lamb all the way from Nazareth. And then it's got to be perfect when you get there. What if when you get there and the priest says, that's not a very good lamb. I can't accept that lamb. What am I going to do? They provided a service. These are people that are thinking people. They are service-minded people. And so they had lambs that would be acceptable to the priest. And they're right there in a little pen and you could pick your lamb out. Now, wasn't that a service? That's convenient, isn't it? That's a service, isn't it? Or they had whatever else you wanted. And these guys thought of themselves as spiritual. They worked at the temple. Where do you work? I work in the temple. What do you do? Well, I help people worship God. How do you help people worship God? I change their money for them. I sell them lambs. I sell them turtle doves. I sell them rams. I sell them the best. I got the best. As you walked in the temple there, the temple grounds were full of servants doing their service to help people worship God. Now, wouldn't you think Jesus would have walked in and said, my, you service-minded people, you are so wonderful. You have done a great work today because all of these lambs that have been sacrificed and all of these turtle doves that have been sacrificed and all these poor people that would have been put to inconvenience, you made it convenient for them to worship. You made it convenient for them to give. You made it convenient for them to sacrifice. That wasn't what he did. I want you to remember, Jesus wasn't a preacher all his life. He was a carpenter. And when he raised his arm and the thing slid back from his arm, you saw muscles in that arm. You could see the things caught up. He didn't carry a whip or a gun with him, but he saw a rope. He went over there and he doubled that rope into about 14 pieces or 6 or 8 pieces and he put it in his hand. And you read the scripture. He ran them out of the temple. Well, I read some commentators that said that them means the sheep and the ox. It says no, and the sheep and the ox. You know, the Bible sheds a lot of light on commentaries. He ran them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen. He picked up that cart and he swung it and that big old boy that was doing a service for God there got up and moved. And he went after another one. And when he got them running, they're all running and he took the sheep, these sacrificial lambs. And he runs them out of the temple. What in the world is Jesus thinking about? He ran them out of the temple. And then he went over where they had their money all stacked up. You know, they had the Jewish money here and they had the Roman money here and they had the Greek money here and they had none. And he took the table and he threw it. That's the Jesus I read about.
Amen.
He doesn't look like some half-size effeminate poor little girl hanging on a cross somewhere.
That's right.
Sounds to me like he said, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. Now let me ask you something. Is Jesus against merchandise? Not on your life. Is Jesus against you making a profit? I had a friend that was a car dealer before he became a missionary. And he said people used to come up to him and say, Brother so-and-so, I'm a believer and I'm your friend. Will you sell me your car for just, cost? And he said, you know, if I didn't sell to friends, I wouldn't sell to anybody. I'd be out of business. No. Everybody I sell to is my friend. Jesus is not against you making a profit. Hey, I'm for you. I hope some more of you go into business. Make a lot of money. Learn how to double tithe or tithe 9/10 of your income to the Lord's work. I wish some of you get generous. You old stingy guts. Look ashamed. You know, look ashamed. Yeah, right there's your God. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your wallet, you're deformed. Your heart's in the wrong place. Shame on you. You ought to spend a little money. You ought to find a missionary and support one. Yeah. Some of you just ride on everybody else's free nickel. Let me tell you, if you're here, you're just a guest here, somebody else paid for these lights. Somebody paid for those chairs you're sitting on. Somebody paid for the hymnals you sang out of. Somebody paid for the electricity to run everything this month. Somebody else did the work of God for you, but we give it to you freely, and I don't ask you for a dime. I don't want your money. I want your soul. I want you to come to Jesus Christ. But once you become a Christian, been given by the grace of God eternal life, you're saved and saved forever. How in the world could you be stingy? Blows my mind. I don't understand stingy Christians who've been saved by grace. It literally blows my mind. Jesus walks into the temple and he said, get these things out of here. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. There's nothing wrong with a house of merchandise. You know what's wrong? Combining the house of prayer with a house of merchandise. That's where your problem is. Well, we can do it and do it spiritual. Yeah, I know you can. Get around money and everybody turns unspiritual. You gotta watch money. I've seen some mighty good people get money and it just tear them all to pieces. Ruin their testimony, even tear up their lives. I used to pray for a lot of money and then I got to praying, Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. I don't want to be poor, but I don't want to be rich either.
Amen.
You know something? When he ran them out of the temple, they said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts has eaten him up. Let me tell you, God is not interested in you making money in the church. We're not a group of contacts that ought to do business with you. We're a group of believers. We fellowship because of a common ground we have. We've been saved by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're here to witness. We're here to grow that we can teach others and that they can witness. We're here for the number one work in the world. That's the preaching of the Word of God that souls might be saved. And the teaching of the Word of God that those souls might grow. And any time we get anything else in our mind and think it's our business to make this thing big or flamboyant or get more people or whatever, you're in the wrong business. Keep it spiritual. Every once in a while somebody says, I want to go to a Christian college. I went to a Christian college. Got my bachelor's degree from a Christian college. My advice is get your doctrine right here at church and go to a college somewhere and get a way to make a living. You might not be a better preacher than me, and you might have to work 20 years of your 40 ministry. You just might have to. You don't know. You know, I'm going to go to the mission field, and I'm going to live by faith, and nothing will happen. And you get about 35, and God will do something different with you. Find a way to make a living. Get your doctrine where it ought to be. Simple Bible and a church of God, a good church. If you don't have a good church, find a good church. Look, if you will, in Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 3. Through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. That's what the Bible says. Look back at verse 1. Who's he talking about? But there were false prophets also among the people. Talking about the Jewish nation. Even as, how definite is this? There shall be false teachers among you. You think everybody that's a preacher is a good guy? You think everybody says they're Christians a good guy? Boy, you are gullible. Man, somebody needs to take you out on the streets of San Antonio and teach you how to walk across the street. There shall be false teachers among you who shall privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many, you say, hey, they got a crowd at that church. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. Think about that for a minute. Why do they do what they're doing? Covetousness. It's amazing what people will do for a buck. I'll tell you what, if I offered $5 for each visitor that you brought to church, we'd get more visitors. That's truth. It's amazing what you would do for a buck. If we paid you for each house you visited, we'd get a lot more houses visited. It's amazing what people will do for a buck. Isn't that right? What is feigned words? Feigned? Is that too old of an English word for you? Yeah. Hypocrisy. They're going to say something they don't mean. They're going to pretend to be something they aren't. Why? To make merchandise of you. Listen, the Bible is full of it. You can spend plenty of time reading on it. I hope you do. Let me tell you something. The last thing Jesus did over there in chapter 2 was tell them to destroy this temple. In 3 days I'll raise it up. Ha ha, they said. Took them 46 years to build this temple. Sounds like Interstate 10. Took them 46 years to build this interstate. You're going to tear it up and build it back in 3 days? You know what Jesus was talking about? He wasn't talking about no physical temple. He was talking about his body. Destroy this temple. I'll raise it up in 3 days. And after he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered. That's what he was talking about. Let me tell you something. I got the greatest job in the world. Not because you're so sweet, but because I preach the greatest message the world has ever heard. It's because I deal in eternal things. Every medical doctor ultimately fails. Everybody he works on sooner or later dies. But there are a few people I talk to are going to live forever. Absolutely live forever. You know the great good news? Christ died for me. He saved my soul. He changed my life. And let me tell you something else. He died for you. He will save your soul. He will change your life. The best thing that ever happened to me was getting saved. And if you ever get saved, it'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. Oh, my Christian friend, are you holding back on God? Why don't you give to God yourself? He's given you himself. And my dear lost friend here, why don't you trust Christ with your soul? You couldn't put it into better hand. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Mary cannot mediate. Jesus himself said, there's no other mediator. One mediator between God and men is the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Take Jesus. Trust Jesus today as your Savior. He'll change your life today. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the accepted time. Repent of your sins and call upon Jesus Christ. He'll save your soul. Let's stand and sing number 249. 249. If you're here without Christ, I invite you to come and be saved. Call upon the Lord. Ask Him to save you. My Christian friend, if you're here and God's spoken to your heart in any way, this altar's open. Do as the Lord's laid upon your heart as we sing. Sing it out. We thank you for all that you've done for us. You have richly blessed us. You've been so kind to us. And Lord, we want to thank you today. God, make us able servants, willing servants, joyful servants. God, may we do for you what you've done for us. May we give ourselves to you, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, our reasonable service. Oh God, thank you for your salvation. I pray you'd answer the prayers that are prayed in this place today. I pray you'd touch anyone that's lost here that they might be saved. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.